Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg, and I'm excited to welcome you to Making Your Message Memorable Using Visual Aids with our guest today, Peg Arnold. During this conversation, we're going to talk about how using visuals makes your message 65% more memorable, what research reveals about audience retention, 5 specific ideas to bring concepts and scriptures alive, 3 practices that make visuals more effective, and the 3 modalities of learning and why they matter. Our guest today is Peg Arnold. She is an encourager to women as she encourages us to embrace our God-given purpose by sharing joys and challenges. Her passion for equipping women is contagious, whether in a small group or on stage. Her website is pegarnold.org. We're so excited to have you here with us today. Welcome to you, Peg.
Thank you. It's always fun to have this time with you, Marnie. I love it.
I know. Any minutes with Peg are good minutes. So
same with Marnie.
We're in for a treat here. And one of the things we both love to do is go to the Well Conference in April in Michigan. And share as well as learn from other creatives there and just what God's doing and how to move forward. Today's conversation is about using visual aids. And I'm excited to have you share this. So for those of you who don't know Peg, she gets up on stage and dresses up like people in the Bible. And she's just so fun to watch. And you want to check all that out over at her website, pegarnold.org. But right now, Peg, let's just talk about this statistic that you threw out.
Okay.
Using visuals makes your message 65% more memorable. That's almost twice as memorable.
Right. And that comes from, we have 3 modalities of learning. And one is through our ears, which most of our schools teach through the auditory, teaching the auditory way. And then visual, and teaching does include visual because there are a lot with technology and things like that. And then kinesthetic, which is movement, learning through movement. But they have done a research that 65% of us really depend on that visual. And they have also done research that using a visual aid makes your message that 65% more memorable. I've taught this concept to teachers for years. I started teaching this to teachers and counselors. And the way it came up was, as a counselor, you're always talking about concepts such as emotions, and gossip. Mm-hmm. And how do you teach that in an elementary school situation where their brains are very concrete and they are not abstract yet? And so I started really incorporating visuals into everything I did, to the point that another cohort and myself went to a national conference and spoke, taught this to counselors and statewide conferences, and then teaching it to local teachers and counselors. So it's near and dear to my heart because I know how much it works in education. And people thought back, a while ago, people thought that, well, visuals are good for kids. You use felt boards, back in the day, and you always use visuals with kids. Well, they started realizing, and I think you'll see this in a lot of pastors today when they give a message. You are, yourself, Marnie, you're a very visual teacher. Mm-hmm. They found that if they had a visual aid, something concrete on stage that helped support their message, that people came back and remembered what they got out of that message because it's associated with now 2 parts of their brain, with hearing as well as listening.
So there's been a significant amount of research that's been done about retaining things in your mind. Part of it is keeping track or keeping in mind that your audience is learning from different modalities, but also just that like storytelling, let's just click mm-hmm. over there for a second.
Yeah.
Storytelling is a way to really cement something into the mind, and so is visual aids.
And storytelling, you are engaging the emotions, which right. isn't taken into consideration when they talk mm-hmm. about the visual, auditory, and right. kinesthetic, but you're engaging in emotions. And the thing is, mm-hmm. visual is one part of your brain. Mm-hmm. Your auditory is another part of your brain. Emotions are another part of your brain. And so anytime you can, and of course, activity is another part of your brain. Anytime you can coordinate two parts of your brain working yeah. together or more, that's why music is, we remember words huge, to music right? mm-hmm. because it's more than one part of our yep. brain. And anytime we can incorporate that, it makes it more memorable.
Yeah.
There's actually a new show out on Disney called Brain Facts or something. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about memory, and there's mm-hmm. competitions on memory that I didn't know. And that's exactly what this competitor that has won national mm-hmm. competitions. He said, if I can associate to something visual mm-hmm. and then I place it in a place. And so he was taking this whole concept that we yeah. were talking about, and he competes in memory games with it. But it's so powerful for speakers mm-hmm. and even in the Word of God. And that's making your message memorable. One of the things I strive to do as a faith-based Christian speaker is bring that visual to help the scriptures come alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and Jesus did that in his ministry. You see that little widow over there with the mite.
Absolutely.
You know,
just, you know,
he's giving us visual things to put in our heads to do those comparisons.
Absolutely. He didn't have to pack up visuals and have a table on a stage.
He's
said, look at the sheep over there, you
yeah,
know, and then
the
he
temple,
talks about
right.
the shepherd, mm-hmm. look at the yeah. temple or right. here, look at this rocky road mm-hmm. and your yeah. seed is like falling onto right. this, you know, hard mm-hmm. path here. So yeah. his visual aids were all around yeah. him, and he incorporated them into his teaching. So yeah. if Jesus used these, how much more should we be? That's
right.
the main example right. of how much more we should be right. using these.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and even I'm thinking, just as you said that, I'm thinking, go back to the very first chapter in the Bible where God's creating the world. And he didn't just randomly throw it together and say, well, there's a world. You know, yeah. he gives us this picture. First, there was light. And then, mm-hmm. you know, and then the animals came along after a while. And, you know, like this right. orderly thing that we can actually visualize. Oh, wow, there were no trees before that. Weird, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. hard to imagine that, but
absolutely.
Yet. Yeah. Now, before we move on, did you have any more okay. research that you wanted to bring up on this point?
There's another research done, and I have to tell you, it's by I have a hard time, Mehrabian, but anyway, okay. he tells us that 7% of our message when we're speaking is remembered, 7%. And it's mm-hmm. conveyed through our words mm-hmm. that we speak. But then he goes on to say 38% of our message is conveyed through our tone of voice, our volume. And then 55 is through our gestures, our facial expressions, our posture. So 55 is all visual. Mm-hmm. Less than 55 is our words mm-hmm. and the tone of our voice, and mm-hmm. the rest is visual. So that's another piece of
huge
research that mm-hmm. really supports that being visual. And when you think about storytelling, when you tell a story, you're not only changing your inflections mm-hmm. of your voice, you're changing the emotions shown on right. your face, and you're probably using your hands like mm-hmm. I am right now. And anytime right. we can put that visual in and connect people visually, again, it's two parts of the brain. If you can engage more than one part of the brain, then you have a chance to have it more retention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. It takes me back to why you don't do important conversations in text messages.
Absolutely.
You have no inflection.
Absolutely.
no body and, language.
Yeah, exactly. And rather than reply on an intense situation on email or text, pick up the phone and call. Yeah. You lose 55 because you don't have. So if you can FaceTime, you're even better.
Right, if you can do it in person. But everything increases the value or the likelihood of being understood and remembered properly, right?
And that's what we want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seek for understanding.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So five specific ideas to bring concepts and scripture alive.
Okay. All right. This is what I love. Well, you know, I mentioned we talked about Jesus. So one of the ways that you can make scripture come alive is look at the things in the scripture that make it, that are a visual thing. So I talked about the soils. Mm-hmm. You can bring in some potted plants or just pots that have rocks in them, pots that have hard soil in them, pots that are flourishing, you know, and pots that have sand. And you can talk about those four conditions of the heart with receiving the message of God. And when you have that pot there, then you can pass it around if it's a small group, or you can get a camera onto it. But it makes that, wow, when I see that rocky soil and I think of a seed going into that, it's not going to get its nourishment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there anytime you can do it. When you're talking about water, I talk about living water with the woman at the well. And God giving her, Jesus giving her that drink of living water. And I hold up a pitcher and I'll pour that water into it. So anytime you can represent it in an actual object, it makes it more memorable. And then you mentioned another one, which is one that is near and dear to my heart, which is drama, bringing the scripture alive through drama. And dressing up as that character and giving it from a first person point of view. So you've got your objects, you've got your drama. You've also got, man, let's say you're not quite the actor, but you want to bring scripture alive. Then I have taken a scarf and I've put the scarf around my head when I might be representing Mary in the scripture of the angel coming to Mary. And then when I'm reading as the angel, I take the scarf and put it out like wings as I'm reading as the angel. Now, this I'm not going to say these are easy, so they take practice. Right. But using a scarf to signify different characters and conversations in your scriptures is another way that you can do this. There's another way is using acronyms. And you just had a whole workshop on acronyms. Well, why don't you say some of the acronyms? Because those were powerful. And just for your listeners, it's taking a familiar word, such as care. Mine was planter. But taking a familiar word and then associating a word with each of those letters of that word to help people remember the message. What was one of the most powerful ones for you, or what was yours, Marnie?
Well, of course, because you're putting me on the spot, I can't even think of a single one. I know.
So I will tell mine. I'll get you off the hook. So mine was planter. And I remember there was hope and care, and I can't tell you. But mine was planter, and the one I said with planter was to help memorize Philippians 4:8, and it's usually pure, lovely, admirable, noble, true, excellent, and right. It's where Paul tells the Philippians to think on these things. You know, above all else, you're not supposed to worry about things and take them to God in prayer, but think on these, focus on these things. Mm-hmm. So pure, and I do too for pure and praiseworthy, lovely, admirable, noble, true, trustworthy, excellent, and right. So using an acronym can help make things more memorable as well. And then we were talking about storytelling is another way as well. And another one I'd like to say is just a sticky statement where you take take a phrase that maybe you have used in your message and you put it either in a poetry or you put it into an alliteration with the same letters, and that can make another memorization, make the retention greater on your message. The one thing is you say, well, acronyms and sticky statements aren't really visual. However, when we think of an acronym, in your mind, you are seeing the letters in front of you. So it actually is visual. And typically when I give an acronym, I'll put up my letters. Like I did an acronym for how to stay connected to Christ and not get wrapped up in the busyness of Christmas. And it's in present. So I have people hold up a P or an R or an E, you know, and you can involve, depending on the size of your audience, you can involve those that are listening to your message with that as well, which is a little kinesthetic.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Right. One of the things I had in the acronym, we just in January did this big summit and the main stage was all acronyms and so many fantastic acronyms, just so fun. One of the ones that I included in there, which is really a visual, was DDDJJJ, which stood for danger, 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 call on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah. And that one I have just used around the world, and it's been really memorable because it is just two words, but there comes this flashing light, danger, 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 call on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, and so any which way that you can bring something a little bit more to life, then just the words that you're saying can be really helpful.
Just a thing with anger management, using a red, yellow, and green card. You know, you see this a lot in elementary school, but if you can think that red, yellow, and green with anger management, when you are overwhelmed and you just want to say, and you know, what you're going to say is going to be the wrong thing. Red, stop.
Yeah.
Yellow, pray. That yellow stands for pray. Yield yourself to Christ. It's yielding to the traffic. So yield yourself to Christ. And then G is go with now the next thought. And and it's actually biological in our mind that if we pause only 5 seconds, you know, that's why they say count to 10 before you respond. Or on a TV show, I remember 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, what in the world is bothering me? It's just those little things that pause us, that allows us to get out of our reactive brain into our more logical brain.
Right. To respond. Those are so great. So what are three practices you use or want to share with us here about how to make the visuals more effective then?
So one of the ways that I mentioned one already is if you've got an audience that you can involve, you can do that. But one of the ways that I think people don't think through, and they say, oh, that's a great visual, and they bring it up and they haven't practiced it. So one of the things, one of the basic ways to make a visual more effective is to practice it. Because if you are looking at your notes, and let's say the phone is my visual, which I do use a phone as a visual when I talk about the differences between men and women, because I say a woman is like a cell phone with all the apps open and giving you notifications at the same time. That's how a woman's brain works, because she multitasks. Mm-hmm. And then a man is like a old-fashioned operator where one line can be connected at a time. And then, okay, sir, you are connected to your party now. Anyway, if I use a visual and just if I do this, well, you know, and then you've got this and then you've got this. And where is my focus? It's not going to be effective if I haven't practiced it. And I'm not looking at you and then pointing to the visual or holding the visual up.
Yeah.
So, you know, involving the audience, practice it, know what your script is going to be. And then placement of where it is on the stage in association to where your pulpit is or where your things. You've, it's those are very, you say, Well, you never even thought of that because, but you need to think of some of those things that help make them more effective. And then thinking about the size of the visual to the audience. Many times in a big auditorium, though, they have a camera and you are on a screen. So taking a smaller visual to a big venue many times still can be used because of that technology. It used to be that you couldn't use a small. But to think about the size of your visual for what your audience is.
I love the audience participation whenever you can do that. One of my favorite events, I had a Jenga game set up on up front, and I had two gals volunteer to come play Jenga. But what they didn't know was that I was going to divide the audience into different groups that were calling out things like, careful, careful, or slow down, it's going to fall. And they, we had different parts of the audience yelling these things out over the top as an analogy for what life feels like. You know, you're just trying to get something done and you've got all these voices, either internal or external, coming at you, and it's hard to focus and to actually stay calm while you're getting through something. That's a little challenging. So anytime, anytime you can add something visual and get the audience involved, again, it just gets, and we're going to talk about this next, go back to the modalities for a couple minutes here, because different people really do learn different ways.
In fact, there's actually multiple intelligences that say, you know, not only do we have these three modalities of learning through the auditory, visual, and kinesthetic, but then Howard Gardner did research where he said, you know, some of your visual learners are more artistic, you know, and others are more literary, where they want to read and they want, they're more organized in that way. So you've got your logical visuals and you've got your artistic visuals. And then in your auditory, you have your musical, you know, in your kinesthetic, you have people that want to be, and this is kind of all three, you have people who learn more by nature. So you've got nature and music and art and logic. And then some people, and then we all have a modality of learning. Some of us learn better by ourselves, which was introspective. And some of us learn better with others. And so you have all those other learning styles that are fit into those modalities of learning themselves.
Yeah. And to just be aware of it, even just being aware of it, changes how you approach your speaking.
Absolutely. Because if you're aware of it, then, you know, maybe you don't feel like you're led to do the visuals. It doesn't feel comfortable for you. So you use a PowerPoint that has color in it and is engaging, and maybe the pictures of the soil are on your PowerPoint. I do have to say, when they're there three-dimensional, they make more of an impression than the two-dimension. So there's been research that says a three-dimensional visual. However, PowerPoint can be made made very engaging and be part of your visuals. And just always remember, never read your PowerPoint.
Well, and in fact, you know, basically, if you have a bunch of words on a PowerPoint, that's not too effective. I use a lot of PowerPoints, and mine are just basically photos. They once in a while, they'll have one to three words on them. But typically, they're not going to be a bunch of words, unless the only exception is if it's a scripture passage. I will spell that out and people can read along with me as I'm reading it. But mostly you don't want to have your PowerPoint replacing you. You want to have your PowerPoint like bringing more life to what you're saying. Like you say, the color and, you know, the visuals that add something instead of take the focus away from you.
Right. You want them enhancing it like that visual.
Enhancing. That's a great word.
you have this great visual of a dolphin, and I don't think you could three-dimensionally get a dolphin.
No, I don't think
to your screen, right?
No, yeah, right, exactly. And one of the, you know, one of the ones I always use is my water bottle. Here's, because yeah, we are a flow through vessel, and I always have the straw. And, you know, we think we're supposed to be the water, but we're not. Jesus is the water of life. We're the straw. We tap into Jesus. Other people suck from our lives. Another one I love to use is in talks about stress. I bring in a soda bottle that hasn't been opened yet. And then I come down off the platform as I begin to shake that soda bottle. And I say, you know how stress feels when it's building up, you know, and what's going to happen right now when I take it? Women are cringing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
If she blows that thing, it's going to be a mess. You know, so absolutely. I mean, it's when you can engage an audience with you in a learning moment, it just sticks so much longer and deeper than when you don't.
I totally agree. It just is a, you know, that's how God wired us. And,
it is.
And Jesus knew that. Jesus Absolutely. Knew mm-hmm. that his teachings were going to be more memorable mm-hmm. if he taught them in parables yeah. with the visuals around the people and the experiences of the people. So that's a master teacher right there.
What's coming to mind right now is when he has the children come sit on his lap and the disciples are saying, no, send them away. They're just children. And he's like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
The kids are what it's all about. People with yeah. a childlike heart. That's what this is all about. So, yeah. Oh my goodness, such great stuff, Peg. I'm so excited to have you share this here, but also to look forward to the Well conference coming in April, you guys. There's a right under this show here. There's a link.
Don't miss
$50
it.
Off.
Yeah.
Ticket. You want to meet us there? We'll have some meals with Marnie tables in the fellowship hall during the meals. You can sign up for one of those if you're a women speaker or if you're just somebody who knows me from online here. And of course, Peg, you're in charge of the
theater and film. There's a theater and film. And I'll tell you, that's what drew me to the Well because of my drama. It was one of the first creative conferences that I thought I found that inner, you know, that included
the
drama.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so you've got art at the Well, you've got speaking, you've got writing, you've got music, you've got theater and film. I mean, there's
comedy,
so
marketing.
Comedy,
I mean, it covers,
marketing.
Yeah, it covers
yes.
the whole thing. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. It's, and I think my one of my favorite things about the Well is the humility and the prayerfulness
Absolutely.
Of the entire event. It's totally a submerged in prayer event where God is center, and even the presenters and the speakers, I find their hearts so humble, and they're just ready to learn right along with everybody else attending other people's classes. And, you know, just, you know, they don't just show up to perform at all. It's very much of an integrated fellowship time, as well as a tremendous learning opportunity for whatever mission God has in your heart.
Yeah. It's one of those conferences where everyone is building each other up.
Right.
It's an iron sharpens iron.
Absolutely.
And wherever you are, you know, if you thought, oh, I've never been to a conference like that.
Oh, my goodness.
The Well is a wonderful first experience because it is a little more intimate, a little smaller.
Yeah.
And you will not get lost in the shuffle at all. You will definitely meet somebody with a like mind like you in ministry who wants to walk with you, who you can brainstorm and grow with. And then all the workshops are fabulous. There are people that, that fly in from all over the nation to teach at the Well.
Yeah, and our own women's speakers, Tammy Whitehurst is one of the keynoters.
Yeah.
So we're so excited to welcome her there too. But you guys, and I'm in charge of the speaker track. So would love to meet you there if you are a speaker or want to become a speaker. Just love that. And then I'm doing a pre-conference half day on marketing on Thursday. So that's a separate thing you can add if you want to, but we hope to see you at the Well. And that's actually the website, www.seeyouatthewell.net. I encourage you guys to go check out Peg's website, which is pegarnold.org. Yeah. When they get there, Peg, what are they going to find?
Well, they'll actually find the information about me. But the first thing that'll pop up, if they want to stay connected to me, there's a free devotion. And then on the back, there's actually a free prayer workbook if they would like something like that. So if they go through, but they'll find out what my programs are. They'll find out a little bit more about me. And as I said, I'm going to piggyback you. I'd love to meet you at the well. The message, making your message memorable. You'll get a lot more details. You'll get a handout with some of these ideas. And then there'll be a freebie that you can sign up as well. That's a resource. And it's kind of a peek at what my book is going to be. I'm in the process of writing a resource book for speakers of making your message memorable and giving you my goal is to have over 100 different visuals associated with scriptures and concepts. And Marnie will be included.
I remember now, all of a sudden I'm like, hey, I think I'm in that book. Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm excited. You are the right person to write that. So exciting. And you guys also, you can invite Peg to speak over at womenspeakers.com or at her own website. She does an amazing job on the platform, drawing women's hearts closer to Jesus. And that's our heart for you, is that you would feel comfortable and confident one-on-one or in front of a group, sharing the love of God in whatever message he has put in your heart.
Absolutely.
So you just go and you do what God calls you to do. And we're just here to support you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Peg, for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
And thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you next time. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye-bye.